normal. I asked that question because many times in my life, sitting in a prison cell, sitting in a jail cell, on house arrest, in a halfway house, on work release, and I would say to myself, man, I can't wait to get out of here and get back to normal. Notwithstanding and understanding that my normal got me there. My normal got me several years in prison. My normal got me several stitches. My normal got me several ambulance rides. My normal has got me a lot of broken relationships. My normal has lost me some jobs, friends. I had to get to a point to understand that normal is based on a belief. I had to get to a place in my life where I understood that I was living an impaired belief system. I see my father hit my mother when I was a kid, so I thought men slap women. Got out of line, slap her. You know what you tell a woman with two black eyes? Nothing. You done told her twice. No, that's not true, though. But that's the standard we lived in the projects where we came up. I can remember what was normal for us in Greenfield Square. That's where I grew up. What was normal for us, if the police was chasing someone through the square, you let him in your house to hide. Not caring what he's just done. Not caring who he is or what's going on. We just did not agree or comply with the police. Just didn't do it. That was a normal. That was a normal. We didn't say, and when I grew up in the square, I worked, and my first job was working through the Norbury Youth Corps at 14. I can't remember what we were making, but I'd get that little $275 check or whatever it was, and I'd spend every dime. Because it wasn't normal for me to put money in the bank because I didn't see my parents put money in the bank. Normal becomes your environment. It becomes the culture in which you are brought up in. I have a brother, and I got to go get him when I leave here. Still, 64 years old, on the street corner, drugged out, got on the same outfit he had on 2 weeks ago. I go down there and try to get him. Yeah, man, I said, man, I got some place. I said, I got this city will take you. You ready? Yeah, I'll go tomorrow. Bob, every day is tomorrow. In his mind, that's normal. I went down there the other night. He's sitting there. He's on a walker because he needs a hip replacement. We took him to get the hip replacement. He got into it with the people in the hospital and walked out. I said, wait a minute. You need the hip replacement. My brother's normal is to go against anything the standard of society. So we have to learn, and I had to learn, and I am learning to live life on life's terms. There are a set of rules and standards into which I need to live. If I live in an apartment building, I don't need to play my music real loud at 11 o'clock because I like loud music. So I had to learn that my rights stop where the next man or woman's rights begin. I had to learn that I don't own this world. Now, my brother, I get my brother in the mission. Now, the mission is a Christian establishment. My brother was, he's a Muslim, so he says. He went to prison, and he's a real angry guy, he's a Muslim. I said, man, I'm surprised you joined the Muslim a long time ago. He said, why? I said, because in prison, and somebody might get offended, but that's okay, because I'm going to say it anyway. imprison all angry black men, join the Muslims. If you've ever did time and you go past the Muslims in prison, you go past their little, where they're having service, they got two sergeant of arms standing by the door that they can't get along. My brother will go down to the mission where people are trying to eat, take that rug out, lay it in the middle of the hallway, and get on top of it, and then talk about, don't be stepping over me. You disrespected me. You don't get up out of that hallway, man. You know what I mean? And see, the thing about it, I work alongside the people of the mission. I work alongside the Potter's House, the Inspiration House, 13-Step House, the court system, on community corrections. All of them know my brother. My brother been kicked out of every place I just named. He's been kicked out of the Liberty Landing. He's been kicked out of the Shepherd's House. He's been kicked out of the mission. He's been kicked out of the Salvation Army. There's not a gas station in the neighborhood he can go. I pulled up the other night. My brother's standing out there outside the gas station. I walk like he's here. I get out of the truck. I say, man, are you ready to go down to this place yet? Because I finally found a place out of town that'll take us, so they don't know him. See, they haven't heard yet, Carl. They haven't heard yet. So they're going to take him. I'm going to go tomorrow. And he reaches his pocket and pulls out some crumbled up dollars. Hey, man, go in there and get me some Vienna sausages and some barbecue chips and a pop. I said, why don't you go in there and get it? I can't go in there. I said, man, I said, listen, brother. I said, we come from the same mother and father, grew up in the same house. He's 363 days older than me. We wore the same clothes, slept in the same bed, protected one another. I said, why are you so angry? I said, why? I said, because we don't know a hungry day. You can't blame this on mom and dad. So why are you so mad about the choices that you make? I said, you have been kicked out of everywhere in the neighborhood. You can't, went to the mission and he gonna got that little rug, he gonna tell me what he getting ready to do, and some girl says something, he pushed the table into her and staff comes talking, he's throwing chairs at the staff. Here's a guy. I go down on the corner, and I meet somebody. I might say, why are you talking about your brother? Because I need somebody to see this picture. I want somebody to see this picture. I went down on the corner one day, raining, and as I was riding down the street, I saw, it looked like my brother's shoes. I see his shoes, but where is he? I go down to try to find my brother. I'm riding all over trying to find him. I finally go on the mission. I say, man, your brother in the kitchen, man. I go in there, and there's my brother standing. He made it outside now. He's standing there in all his glory, one sock and no shoes. Raining, cold. I ask him, where are your shoes? He looked down. Man, I don't know.
Oh, man.
You know, and this is comical, but it's sad. Where have I seen that movie? Let me think. One night, I heard somebody standing up saying, hey, what are you doing? I wake up, and there's people standing over me. I don't recognize the house that I'm sleeping in. I'm on the floor. And I look around, and the people standing over me say, what are you doing in here? Man, this is a private house. I remember standing up, and for God, whatever the reason, they didn't jump on me, whatever, you know, because I'm out of it. I go, the next thing I remember was being at Shell gas station and seeing a guy, and he said, Lyle, man, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm hungry. It was Church's Chicken then, I think it was. It might have been Popeye's or something, whatever it was. He says, go over to the chicken place, man, I'm going to buy you something. So I get to the chicken place, and he comes over, and he puts the money in my hand and pushes me on in the door because he's not going to let me go out nowhere. He wants me to go get me something to eat. I am standing there looking up at the menu. And the lady said, "Sir, we don't serve people with no shoes on." So I looked down, Marvin. I ain't having no shoes. The next thing I remember, I was standing on somebody's porch on Woodland Street, knocking on the door. This is because everything else, I don't remember between these things. I'm knocking on the door, and I said, "Hey, man, you got some shoes I can have?" True story. The guy gives me a pair of sandals. I put the sandals on. I walk up to this, I'm walking past the house. I ride past the house to the day, and I pray over this house as I ride by. And it had a small fence. Some reason I couldn't walk by the house. I stepped over the fence, Bob. I shook the back door, and the door came open. So I went in the house. And I'm rifling through drawers. I remember rifling through drawers, and I know something was wrong with me because I found a drawer had cardboard with $20 bills between them in a rubber band. Being a good blacked out thief crackhead I was, I reached in that drawer and I took me one $20 bill. That's how I know I had it out of my mind, because I was a crackhead and a thief. I had to clean it out. And as I got that one $20 bill, I'm admiring it. And then somebody said, "Hey, what are you doing in here?" And I turned around and there's a little lady standing there. I have no real good answer. So I tell her, "I'm your neighbor." "Hello, neighbor." So I mean, sure, she's a lot smaller than me. So now I get out of the house. I don't know what I did. All I know is that 45 minutes later, I'm standing about 6 houses away, and the police picked me up. Why didn't I get out of there? I was in a blackout. You think it can't happen? Yes, ma'am.
What street did you say you were on?
Huh?
What street did you say you were on?
The street you was on.
Calhoun Street. No, Harrison Street.
You said Woodland.
No, I got the shoes on Woodland Street. I got the shoes on Woodland Street, and I walked down past. I was on the corner. It's a blue house on the corner of Harrison and I think Sunfield. It's a blue house. Yeah, it's still there.
I had almost the same exact situation happen at my house on Lillian. Had somebody wandering door to door, and yeah. Sorry.
See, we laugh at now. I can laugh at that now. But by the grace of God, if you're not through with that liquid dope, if you're not through with that powdered dope, if you're not through with that leafy dope, if you're not through with any one of them the kind of dopes out there, that may be you next. And guess what? You may run into the wrong house. Because you're the one that in our house when we were younger, you would have got out. You would have got out. See, we were raised in squares. My mom carried a gun, my dad carried a gun, and we could all fight. You the ones up in there, dog, we'd have been like piranhas on you. And I'm saying this because now my brother's calling, and all of a sudden, it's his poor choices are my emergency. "Man, you need to get down here and get..." I said, "Brother, I'm going to church, going to a meeting, and I'm supposed to speak..." "Well, man, I'm down there. What am I supposed to do?" I said, "Do what you've been doing. Do what you've been doing." I said, "I was down there yesterday to get you, remember?" So you wasn't ready. So I happened to call my other brother. My other brother's going down there to get him. And I called my wife, sitting here. I said, "Baby, I'm going to bring him home tonight. Because I got to go to... I've been working at 5 o'clock this morning. I've been working all day. And now... I could be back at work at 7 and do 10 point tomorrow. I don't feel like driving down to Bluffton tonight. If I have to, I would. But at some point, his normal has to be better than that. See, my normal was at the end of the night, when the weather got really rough, See, because if you was a crackhead like me, I was a crackhead. I was not a baby dope fiend. I was a real live dope fiend. And I hustled all day when there were people out, and I'd steal a baby or whatever I could get. And then, at the end of the night, all crackheads hear this story, right, if you're somebody's house, when your money runs out. You're out of money, you're out of dope, and they come straight to you and say, hey, D-Wan, what you fixing to do? In other words, you got to go. And you look around saying, how come you ain't saying that's nobody else? what you fixing to do? Because we fixing to clear the house. And then you notice as you leave, you're the only one leaving. Yeah, nobody else moving. And see, like I said this before, God got a sense of humor. I come out of that crack house, I'm tipping like this here, walking around, and, you know, I have a little piece of knife in my hand or something, and I'm walking, and there's an old hedge bush right here. Soon as I get past the hedge bush, God would make the wind blow, and the camera would say, click, 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 I about cut myself with a knife. Put this knife away before I kill myself. You know, I can laugh at that, but this is somebody's normal today. This is somebody's normal today to wake up and pee on yourself on the bench. But the bad part about it, somebody tell you, hey man, come on, you take a shower at my house, but you ain't going nowhere. You done found the hustle up $20. I'm not going to take a shower or nothing until I get this rock. You got to wait. I don't care about them clothes. I'm going to go buy me a rock. Somebody might think I'm silly for what I'm saying. I'm telling you, I lived it. I'm telling you, I see it every day in the ministry. It's heartbreaking to go down there and see my brother on the sidewalk in the snow sleep. I got some pictures in my phone. I'm just not going to, because I've taken pictures of him down there in several different vantage points. And it's sad. I had to get to a place where there was a new normal. You know what my normal is today? My normal is I get up at 5:30 in the morning. And I turn, first thing I do is hit my knees and I pray to God and say, thank you. I say, thank you, this old man is not sleeping in an abandoned car. See, Bob, I don't have to find an abandoned car to get in tonight. See, but I had to before. I woke up in an abandoned car and the people are coming out to get in the car. Hey, who are you? I got to get out the door and run. Come on, man. See, but somebody don't believe that, but I'm telling you, that was my life. Today, I don't live like that. So I have a new normal. I get up in my bedroom, and I'm not saying this to brag on me. I'm talking about what Jesus will do if you give him a chance in your life. I get up in my bedroom, and I turn on my big screen TV and turn the news on. See, that I don't got to leave my bedroom. I can make it right in my bedroom and walk right into my bathroom with the two sinks right there, the shower and the jacuzzi.
Amen.
I'm telling you what God will do in your life. He said that he will withhold no good thing from those who love him. We have to come up to a new normal. After I get out of that, after I get cleaned up and brush my teeth and shave, I go to work. My wife said, why do you go to work so early? She said, I don't have to be at work till 7. I leave home about 5 minutes to 6. I work 10 minutes from my job. But I get there, and I sit in that car, and I turn the music on, and I sing. See, because I can't sing, but I love it. I turn it on, Bob, and I sing, and I get in touch with God, and I get in tune with me. So when I go in the building, I don't have attitude with you, Greg. It don't, see, because I understand something in my new normal that how you treat me, my salvation, my rewards, my happiness is not predicated on how you treat me. My salvation and my rewards are predicated on how I treat you. So tomorrow when I go into work, I carry a smile. I carry a hello for everybody. I carry a hello. I live in a new normal. You know what else I do when I get off work? When I cash my check, I leave some in the bank to pay my bills, and I take the rest home. Now, I fell in some times where I was off. I got hurt in the last 3 years 4 times, had surgeries, and people helped me out. And I thank God for the people who helped me out. But you know what? I'm catching up, and I'm almost there. But you know what? I take care of my business. I called yesterday. I'm sitting outside of bed, and I called. I'm not going to be much longer. I called the city utilities so I can get my account summary. You know what they said? you have a zero balance. So I hung the phone up. I call Indiana, Michigan. Said your bill is December 17th and it's zero balance. You know what? I had an old car, guy blessed me with a nice car, and that car ran me for 6 years. And the car started getting a little old and a little short on me. I didn't want to get another bill. I didn't want another bill yet. I wanted to catch up first with what God has, with the men and the women and people who had helped me get caught. I wanted to get caught up. So God blessed me with a nice truck. I had a big truck sitting out there. And you know what else I got? I have the title in my safe. I got a safe. Oh, God, like me, got a safe at home. See, and I'm telling you this not to brag. I'm telling you, you don't have to settle for that old normal. You don't got to settle for going back to your sister's couch. You don't have to settle for sleeping in your grandma's basement. There's nothing wrong with starting there. There's nothing wrong with starting at the mission. There's nothing wrong with starting at a halfway house. If you need a good place, I can help you get one. I can help you get in there. But if you want a job, you're looking at the right person. I can get you there by the help and grace of God. But the mission should not be your way of life. 40 years later, you shouldn't still be going in and out of the mission. And I learned that today. My wife drives a 2021 Nissan Rogue. Her title was sitting on top of mine. Where'd it come from? God. I can't explain how all these things happen. But all I know is I ain't did no dope. All I know is I haven't stole nothing from nobody. All I know is I ain't did no dope. I ain't have to sell no dope. I ain't got to do that no more. I live off DuPont Road. My basement is as big as this church. And it's only, now some of you guys have been in my house, and I'm not bragging on what I did. I'm bragging on what he did for me.
Amen.
Some of y'all see me walking down the street. Some of y'all knew me when I was walking down the street. Like I tell that old story about the Reeboks. I wore the Reebok so long the RE fell off, but I was walking around a pair of box. But I don't walk around a pair of box today. I'm wearing Timberlands right now. You know that, Marvin, I'm wearing Timberlands. I gave away 3 pair of Timberlands last year, brand new. I got some Jordans I'm going to give away next week. I'm going to bring them out here. I got some sweatsuits I'm going to bring out here next week and give away. Because God has blessed me with more than enough because of the new normal in my life. Yes. On Sunday mornings, I can remember waking up one Sunday morning. Now, I was in the bed with these two girls. Now, I'm going to tell it like it was. And we getting high and stuff. And it wasn't like I was no King Stud because that dope turned me into Homer Noodleman. Let's call it like it is. But I'm in the bed with these two girls. And Sunday morning rolls around, and the radio's on. And you know the black radio station in Fort Wayne, back there, always play gospel on Sunday mornings. And then, so I'm laying up in there, like I'm Gucci or something, and all of a sudden, it comes across the radio. Prayer is going out this morning for Lyle Kelso. I'm, oh, mama, leave me alone. You blowing my eye up in here. But you know what? I thank God for mama's prayers.
Yes, sir.
See, my mama saw me as a dope fiend. My mama saw me when I was shot in the head. My mama saw me when I got beat with baseball bats. My mama saw me. She come to almost every prison in Indiana to visit me at one time or another. And she just said, I didn't think I was going to ever make it. I didn't think I was going to ever make it. But one day, hey, but what don't make me cut a step. But one day, God showed up in my life. And I told God, yes. I say that day, I wasn't sitting in no church. There was no big choir. There was no lightning. All it was an old dirty crackhead walking down D-Wall Street with something he had just stole. And God showed up in my life. And when God showed up, I said, yes, I'll go. And I went and I took back what I stole. I'm not going to go into the whole story right now, but I took it back. And I went and turned myself into jail. I called my mama because I prayed to God, you got to clean me up. He said, you want to clean yourself up? You want to get clean? Call the detectives and tell them everything you did while you were out on parole. Who does that? Sicker than our normal, we don't do that.
No.
In our normal, we don't do that. I ain't no snitch. In my normal, we don't do that. I hurry up and ran to the phone. And I called my mama. And my mom answered. And I was crying. See, I didn't cry on the streets. You know, when nobody was looking. I didn't cry. I cried a whole lot of tears. Nobody was there. It was just me. And I was hurting for the things I had done. But I was crying. And I told her. I said, call the detective agency. She called them. I talked to Zach Carter. Some of y'all might know him. He might have arrested some of y'all. He might be looking for some of y'all now. You know, we just keep it real up here. I don't mean to offend nobody, but I was telling you my life. I'm telling you what it was like. And I called him. I came and I told him, Pop, everything I had did. And I went to prison. And my mama told me, she said, baby, I'm probably not going to be here this time when you get back. That was a hard thing to listen to. I prayed to God, Lord, let the circle remain unbroken until I can make it home one more time. So let it remain unbroken until I can make it home just one more time. And you know what? I made it home one more time. You know something else? I ain't been down that road not another time since that time. I made it home that one time, and I stayed home. I've been home ever since. And you know what else? When my mama passed away May 2nd of last year, her baby, that old crackhead, that old thief, that old lying dope fiend, preached her funeral. Come on now, you can't tell me what God won't do. I preached my mama's funeral. I sent her home. I sent her to glory. You can't tell me. And I'm trying to encourage somebody. You don't have to be that old normal. We got mentors sitting here waiting, salivating for somebody to call and say, hey, how do I walk this out? But we got people come in week after week, month after month, some for years, and never call. Never call the mentors. Never use it because, like me, when I first came around, I thought I knew it all, Marvin. I wanted to teach the class the first night. I knew I wasn't going to make it. They were glad to see me go. But when I got tired, when I wanted to change that old normal, I came back. And I set my behind down. And I began to listen. Things began to make sense. And it wasn't always easy. It's not always easy. And see, even today, I can be tempted because I'm just like the next guy. But I refuse to put myself in positions to let the sin have a reign over me. I find myself sometimes standing in a place where I hold a wheel on the wet. No! And I call on God. And I come on out. It's been almost 12 years since this dope fiend did any dope. It's been almost 12 years since this thief stole anything. It's been almost 12 years since this old pervert got in the bed and slept with a woman that wasn't his wife. I'm telling you, God can do it in your life. And you think, well, man, you just a square buckboard dude. I mean, I was the first season of the Black Gangster Disciples. I was a heck of a basketball player. I went down to the joint and turned it out. Everywhere I went, I turned it out. My name was on the wall for the basketball things. I turned it out everywhere I went. I hit home runs everywhere I went. I wasn't no punk. I wasn't scared. I wasn't none of that. But today, God has changed my life to a new normal. I no longer celebrate with the Black Gangster Disciples. I no longer salute with the Black Gangster Disciples. I still got a star on my arm. But that, you know what that star is still there for? So I can tell somebody that sees my life today, who thinks there's no way you know about what I'm talking about. Brother, I was right there.
Yes, sir.
I was right there behind the walls of Michigan City, in the tunnels of Westville. I was right there. But today I live a good life. Running out of gas and what's for dinner is no longer a problem. I'm leaving here tonight and I'm going to call my wife. You know, I'm asking, baby, what you want for dinner? I'm asking, what you want for dinner? You know what I'm going to do? I don't care what she says. I'm going to go get it. I'm going to go get it. I hope I've encouraged somebody. I hope the Spirit of the Lord, the living God, touched somebody's heart. Hey, if you're a mentor, please raise your hand. And keep it up for a few seconds so everybody can see who you are. Man, stop and get what we got. I'm telling you, my cup runs over. Nothing blesses me more. I was watching this. I was shut down with this. This last thing. Nothing. I was at work one day, and a guy who did 26 years straight in prison. Somebody told me about him and called me over there, and I went to see him, praying with him. I got him a job where I work at, and I was walking down the hall one day or down the aisle a few months back, and this was 3 years. He'd been working there 3 years at this point. He grabbed me and picked me up. He said, "Man, thank you." I said, "Thank you for what?" He said, "Man, I did 26 straight years." He said, "When I came home, I was scared." He said, "I didn't know where I was going to live or what I was going to do. I was in one of the facilities." He said, "I didn't know which way to go. And somebody introduced me to you." He said, "Lyle." He said, "I make $20 an hour now." He said, "Lyle, I got a woman I'm about to marry. And we just had a baby." He said, "Lyle, we got a nice place to live." He said, "Lyle, that's my car sitting over out there, man, that blue one over there." You know what? I said, "Man, don't make me cut a step. Don't make me cut a step, because that's what God will do when you decide, I want to live a new normal. I don't care what nobody say." And I promise this is the last thing I'm going to say. I say it all the time. Hey, you know, this little boy asked the preacher, asked the grandmother one time, said, "Grandma, what did it mean when the preacher said I'm about to close?" She looked at him and said, "Nothing, absolutely nothing." But this is, I promise of this. People always talking about this guy, that guy snitching. Let me tell you the definition of a snitch. Let me tell you the definition of a snitch. If me and D1 decide to go break in somewhere together, we both plotted out. We both volunteered our thing. We go in there. D1 gets away and I get caught. And I turn D1 in. I'm a snitch. But let me tell you what's not a snitch. If I'm at home cutting my grass and I see D1 coming out the house or across the street of some little old lady who don't have no business being trespassed on, who don't have a right to live in fear, who don't have a right to be hurt and beat on, who don't have a right to lose her social security check to some crackhead coming in the window. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call the police. And I'm going to say, "I know the guy. It was D1. And when we get to court, I'm not going to write no note. I'm not going to be like that. When we get to court, he'll know me because he'll see the end of my finger. When they say, 'Is he in the courtroom?' That's him." See, because I have an obligation to my society. I prayed. My mom is gone now. But I always prayed if somebody was going in on her that somebody would help her. I always pray those things. So don't look at people talking about, "He's a snitch." No, he's not a snitch. He's a man of integrity. You don't deserve to be beat on and get your stuff taken from you. And I love all y'all. And I mean that. If you ever, I walk with the 10-point coalition. If I'm ever walking down the street and somebody's trying to do something to you, here we come. You can bet you that. God bless you. Anybody got any questions?
Morning, do it.
Man, you get, yes, D1.
I know already, but you kind of breeze past, and it's always been my favorite part of your story. And when you had the epiphany, I guess, of taking back what you stole.
Yeah,
that's one of the most incredible, just because of the timing of it.
Yeah,
the part of the year was, and I was hoping that you could tell everybody what it was. And
I'll tell you what quickly. It was March 21st. I take that back. It was May 21st, 2011, and I just broke in a church. Wow. See, because everything was fair game to me because I was a dope fiend. And I stole that snowblower. And I'm walking down the street. I had two gals waiting back in the house. Like I say, I go back like I'm a stud, but really I'm Homer Noodleman because that dope ain't gonna let me do nothing different. But I got this thing and I'm going down the street. All of a sudden, a tear came down my face. Now, like I said, I didn't cry in front of people. Some of y'all that knew me knew I didn't cry in front of nobody. Tear comes down my face. I wiped that tear away. Bible, tear came down the other side and I wiped that one away. All of a sudden, I'm ready. They're coming from everywhere. Like, what the heck am I crying for? Big old sissy. What am I crying for? Anybody bothering me? And I couldn't stop crying. And all of a sudden, I'm crying from the inside like that. And nobody's bothering me. See, because I had asked God to help me. There were times I was on my knees and I wanted out and asked God to help me. And God decided, this is the day I'm going to do business with you, whether you like it or not. So some guy pulled up beside me and said, hey, what you want for that snowblower? And that's a dope fiend's dream. Because now he want what I got, I can have top dollar. I looked at that young man, I looked at that man, and what came out of my mouth, I didn't believe. I said, man, this ain't mine. He said, huh? I said, it ain't mine, man. But now I'm crying, snotting going everywhere. I ain't had no tissue. I'm glad, thank God for that box. Because I was doing what we did to crack air. Yeah. You know, getting it down the best I could. But I took that snowblower back. And a little old lady came to the door, a little old man. And they see me out there crying. This big old, and see, because I get on crack, I lose a lot of weight. But my head still be this big. my head be wider than my shoulders. As I'm standing there looking like a scarecrow or something, man. Eyes all messed up, lips white as snow. I'm shaking and going on. And they wasn't opening that door. The lady said, ah. we'll pray for them in here. But anyway, I showed them the snowblower. And then the little old man went on another room and came out with the phone. Now, see, like I told you before, I dunked on every rim I ever played on. I hit a home run every park I ever played in. That God is my witness. I was a heck of an athlete. If they had ever had a crackhead Olympic, I would have been a gold medalist. So when they called the police, that was my cue to run. But my leg said, sit down. And I sat down on the step. The police came. The one guy that first knew me, Martinez. He seen me and he popped his pistol back. And he said, sit down loud. I said, hey, man, I ain't going nowhere. I said, I'm through. I said, Martinez, I'm through. I said, you don't need no backup. I said, you come on, get me. You don't need no backup. He said, no. You sat there. Backup came. I told him my story. And then they said, no harm, no foul. And then I told him, I said, look, I'm on parole. I said, I'm going to call my parole officer. That's where it took me downtown. That's when I called my mother. I went to court. The nigga called my name. Wendy Davis, right now, she said. I said, can I say something, Your Honor? She had her head down. She said, yes, sir. And I told her, I said, listen, my family and the state have spent far too much money and time on my foolishness. I've lived a very wicked adult life. And she looked up at me. I said, what I'm trying to tell you is, ma'am, I don't need a plea bargain. I don't need an attorney. I don't need a public defender. We don't have to do no jury trial. Whatever that paper says up there, Miss Davis, I'm guilty. You can sentence me right now and don't spend another dime. The prosecutor jumped up, the little lady, what, Cynthia Lee or whatever, she jumped up and she's going at me. I said, man, hold it. I watched you carry all those files in that courtroom. I said, I guarantee you the thickest file on that table is mine. I said, I'm telling you, you could never have to bring my file across this courtroom ever again. My file hasn't been across that courtroom since that day. And you know something? I got a court order in my phone from Judge Woody. I got a court order in my wallet from Judge Woody Davis saying I can bring my phone in the courthouse. The same lady told me, you're nothing but a liar and a thief. You tell me God can't change. All right, we're going to pray. I'm going to ask D-Wan.
Yes, sir.
I'm asking you to pray because I know God is ready to change somebody to a new normal tonight. You ask God to give somebody a new normal. Pray us out of here.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just want to thank you, number one, for just allowing us to see another day.
Yeah.
Allowing us another day in your presence.
Yeah.
Lord, there's so many times in our hearts and in our minds that we want to change, that we say that we're going to change. But that thing, whatever that thing is, it keeps pulling us back. That thing has a stronghold on our lives.
Yes.
That thing has shackles on our lives.
Yes.
By ourselves, we cannot seem to break free of whatever that thing is, Lord. That addiction, that man, that woman, that thing that holds us back from the glory of you, God. So on this day, I ask that you bring each and every person in this sanctuary a new normal. I ask that you bring us a new day. For you said that once we become in you, in Jesus Christ, that we are new creation.
Yes.
Lord, allow us to renew our minds. Allow us to renew our spirits in you, Lord. Allow us to find encouragement and to become new people in you, Lord.
Yes.
Those things that were once yesterday,
yesterday, Lord. Yes. We know in the name of Jesus, they do not have to be today.
No.
Those things that were once yesterday,
yes,
are
Lord.
Yesterdays,
yes,
do not
Lord.
Have to be tomorrow.
Yes,
in the
Lord.
Name of
the
Jesus,
name
Lord,
of Jesus.
Give us the strength to leave
yes,
those
Lord.
Things, to leave that
yes,
bondage,
Lord.
To leave those situations
yes, Lord.
In yesterday.
In the name of Jesus.
Give us a new today, Lord.
Yes,
in
Lord.
The name of Jesus, Lord, we know
we
that
know.
You have the power to do with men.
Yes.
We know that you have the power to make a way out of
hallelujah.
Absolutely no
hallelujah.
Way at all,
thank
Lord.
You, Jesus.
Give us the strength to have the belief,
thank you, Jesus.
The faith the size of a mustard
thank
seed.
You, Jesus.
But we know that faith
thank you,
can
Jesus.
Move mountains, Lord.
Thank
can
you,
move
Jesus.
Planets, Lord. Give us the
yes,
strength
Lord.
To just walk in you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Talk in you, Lord. To
yes,
live
Lord.
In you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus,
in the
Lord,
name
we
of Jesus.
Pray. We give you all the glory, all the adoration. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right. God bless you. You got any questions? You got anyone want to see one of the mentors? Just stop and talk to us. Come on up.